Hello, everybody. This is the Friendly Bear Podcast, where we interview some of the best and brightest traders in the trading community. Listen to inspiring stories and nuggets of insight from current and future game changers in the trading space. Listen and learn as we explore all types of trading niches with some of the best in the industry from a Friendly Bear point of view. Make sure to check out the Friendly Bear Podcast's new YouTube channel called Friendly Bear Research, which includes all the podcast video content and supplemental screen shares. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. With that being said, I'm your host, David, aka Reverse Long, and this is the Friendly Bear Podcast. Let's dive in. What's up, guys? This is David, aka Reverse Long, and today I have the pleasure of having Lucas Marin back on the podcast. Lucas is a friend of mine, and he's been we've been in the trading community together, trading, almost every day since like 2020, I think, or even before that. And Lucas has his own community of Brazilian traders called Born to Trade. And so Lucas and I, we decided to do this podcast. You know, Lucas, I see him traveling a lot now. He moved to Portugal, I believe, and I think the last podcast we did, he was already in Portugal. Lucas has been on like 3 or 4 times already on the podcast. Actually, we did a lot of trade reviews also, if you dig through the archive. But with all that being said, yeah, what's up, Lucas?
Hey, David. Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure. It's always good to chat about trading. And not only that, it's about mindset. And like, we as human beings, we always change. We are in a different position in every month and every year or whatever. So maybe like when I believe the last one that we did, it was a long time, almost a year, I would say.
Almost a year, maybe like 8 to 8 months, something like that.
If I record, I was in New Zealand, but I was backpacking back then. And it was a different type of traveling that I was doing. So I was like actually moving from each country to each country without any home base. And now like I'm in Portugal, living here, enjoying the beach and just like using Portugal as a home base to travel. My goal is just to travel at least once a month to any country around here, because Europe is really cheap to travel around. Like I'm going to Madrid and I pay like 15 euros for a flight. It's
15 with 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5, but yeah, just yeah. One way. But anyway, like it's $30 for a round trip.
It's crazy. That's so nothing. Cheap. Is that like a Ryanair and EasyJet? I remember a long time ago.
Yeah, it is.
One of those? Yeah.
So it's really good to have like a home base and I can trade. I can... Because when traveling, it's nice, but it's exhausting in a sense. And when you get back home, every time that I come back, I always say, guys, finally, I'm back home. I want to trade full time. You know, like every time that I come back, I say this. And that's true because it's not only about that. Now I have a routine, you know, and you are one of the highest person that I know in terms of routines and like really doing every day the same stuff to be organized and focused, you know, and that matters a lot. And I know that when I'm like at least 2 weeks in a row here, I'm gonna have a good next week, you know, because I already readapted to my it's not only about being here, it's about like going to the gym, running, meditating, and doing all the stuff that you gotta do to be mentally focused, and that helps a lot. Like,
yeah. So, with the traveling, so how did you figure? Because you wanted to travel, so you had to figure it out. Like, okay, I want to make trading and traveling work because you have success trading, and now you want to travel and enjoy it, and then you also want to trade and make some money. So, like, how did you manage to figure that part out?
Okay, so during my backpack, the time zone helped it a lot because I was in Asia, and the Asia, the time zone, it's like when you're at night, you're just like, you're the pre-market is opening. So you have like a really good amount of time to trade. And but the key for me is decreasing size. So I don't even like, even when I'm full time, I don't trade huge size. But when I'm backpacking, when I'm in travel mode, I reduce size. So I just it's crazy. It's just like feeling that I have to pay what I spent. You know, like if I like spend like 40, 50 euros a day in like traveling, I want to make that amount of money to pay the traveling, you know. And of course, when I'm home, I just like trade full time and full size and do what I usually do. And that's the key, because I don't get stressed. And not only that, like when I'm traveling, especially now that I'm traveling in Europe, I only trade after hours. And after hours, it's one of the best edge for me. Pre-market and after hours. Pre-market nowadays, I would say the last 3 months, it's not that good. It's like really quiet, not too many opportunities. But after hours, it's consistently providing good opportunities. And well, of course, like when I'm here, I'm trading full size. I'm trading full hours. So like all market hours. And yeah, that's it. Like that, the key for me is reducing size and also like trying to get only after hours, especially because it's, for me, it's one of my best setups.
Awesome. So the pre-market, so what's your take on the pre-market recently? Because we were talking before the podcast, it seems like it's just too many squeezes. It's like, that's the runner of the day in the pre-market. It's like, it's highly likely to squeeze more until, like, yeah, I've been waking up late recently, actually, and I was taking advantage of the squeeze. But we used to trade pre-market like so much for years, you know? Yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah, for now, like at least for the last 1 year, I've been trading only the first hour pre-market. For the last months, it's terrible, like nothing moving, so quiet. But I'm doing like after 5 a.m. Until 9:30, it's usually where all the biggest runners come out, usually after 7. And I avoid this period. Like today was an exception, and that I broke my rule. So now I'm sure like one of the hot chicks of the day, and it happens. But that's what I usually do. Like I avoid trading from 5 a.m. until 9:30. And I only try to get the first hour, and the first hour is the best because there's no algos. If the stock, there's no news. It's only pump and dumps, and only like probably as we call it, the two steps, right? If the stock is running on the after hours, and we short the pre-market spike. Yeah, that's what I usually do. And nowadays, as I said, it's not that good, but sometimes we have some good opportunities over there.
And what do you think about the Asia hours? I think the last time, yeah, we did a podcast, you were in New Zealand and you're going to Singapore and all this stuff. And I don't know if you went to the space capsule in Singapore, you stayed inside the space capsule, but you did?
You said it was full.
Yeah, I stayed in it. I was showing you the photos. I shorted some stock inside of the space capsule. I remember that. And I think I got squeezed on it too. But anyway, I was going to ask you, so the Asia hours is kind of crazy. Like when I was in Japan, it's 12 hours from here. So right now it would be 2 in the morning. So if you want to, like, it's very weird. So like 2 in the afternoon is 2 in the morning here. So the market would be open like really early, like in the, it's bright. It's like in the afternoon, but it's pre-market. So like,
yeah, I would say pre-market opens around 7, 8, something like that.
In the morning. No.
At night. Yeah. I would say like maybe less, like 4 or 5. Yeah, 4. See, if it's 12 hours, it's 4 p.m. So
4 p.m., the pre-market opens up. Yeah, you're right. So 4 p.m.
So in terms of traveling, it's really good because you always have the whole day to travel, and you arrive home and you trade. You make like not a full day, but at least you have a good amount of hours to trade, you know.
It's really good. And I was gonna ask you, okay, so Lucas, let's go back a little bit. So you Okay, so you did the whole, we talked about it before. You worked at Credit Suisse, it went defunct, whatever, and you learned some fundamentals there. And but anyway, fast forward to Tim Sykes. So you're learning how to trade. We're both in the Tim Sykes room. This is like 2020. When did you start again in the Tim Sykes room?
I started 2021.
21. Oh, so it was like that right before the meme stocks, maybe, or maybe yeah. The meme stocks started. Yeah, I had just come back from South America.
I was trading only long and only OTCs until like September, October, when they just died.
So after, when we met back then, like how much profits were you up? Not much, right?
It's like, I would say like 40, 50.
And that was longing?
Yeah, I would say yes. In a hot market.
In the hot market, that's right. That's right. So when did you decide to go short?
When I had my first big loss, it was an OTC that even it doesn't exist anymore. Like I'm still holding a stock that does change the name and like the value of the stock. Like my holdings are like $20. I lost $12,000 basically.
So it was just a hot chick of the day you chased and you just held it or like
basically, and kept adding up, right?
So in the hot market, you were longing because you were making money like this. So like, were you getting rewarded for bad behavior back then? Is this the hot market? Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
That's how we learned. Right? But that market was a crazy market. So how did you, okay. So that, I remember because we were in that chat room at 4 a.m. every day. Eastern.
And that was after this loss. So basically, when I took that loss, I started to realize that even though I couldn't make money long, all the stocks that I was longing, they end up dying. So why not like doing what we're supposed to do to be on the right side of the trade? And I mean, like being on the right side of the trade still for me, it's the main reason that's why I'm short. Because we know that most of these stocks, they are just like pump and dumps. And then back then, I didn't know anything about like fundamentals. Of course, I knew about financial analysis, but not like didn't know about anything about dilution. Didn't know dilution existed and all of the instruments that we analyze today. But back then I was looking for some people who shorted, and you were one of the only guys at the chat room at 4 a.m. And like I remember when I was waking up at 6, 7, and I was like, why these guys are trading at 4 a.m.? Like something clicked, and then I started waking up and see, and it was you. Not Reed wasn't trading 4 a.m. and it was you and Dave and
Michael Matthews. Yeah.
And then that's how we connected, and then we're together since then.
So Lucas, so what do you think? Okay, so that's like 3.5 years, something like that. So like we've seen a lot of people come and go. So what do you think is the main thing that keeps you in the game like for long term? Because you're a mentor now to a lot of people. So what do you tell them like? You know, it's like you got to stick around long enough. Like, you know, you just got to survive.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a brilliant question. And the answer for that would say it's like thinking long term. And because I think like the goal, you got to, when like everybody who's listening to this, it's when you decide to go trading, You gotta decide if you want to make money or you want to build a career. That's two different stuff. Because if you want to make money, you're just thinking about a quick way to make money. And that could be a quick way to make money, but it's not sustainable if you have this mentality. So the only way that you can be consistently profitable and build a career is if you think long term, and exactly what Tim Sykes says, like small gains add up. So when you think short term, you basically think you understood the market, and then you start sizing up because you think you know what's going to happen. You know, you think you're already a genius, and the market is going to kill you in the first opportunity that it has. So basically, the difference for me that kept me alive, it's like, man, I want to do this for a living. I want to, like, now I can say I'm like training provided me the ability to accomplish my dreams. So I'm traveling the whole world doing what I love, but I only started traveling after I had I've grown up my account 10x, which it's enough to trade small size and make money. And that's something that I decided to do. It's like, of course, I can blow up my account. Actually, like now, and that's a good point, because when we did our last podcast, I didn't have a stop loss. And after I went to your conference, the first one, that was really, really important for me. And I would say, like, for everybody that is listening, like, go to David's conference, because that conference clicked something in me. It was not only about what David says, because we kind of like train together, so we all almost have, like, I would say, same knowledge, but like adding up what Sam provides in information. And he, actually, you said about the stop loss, but like putting it all together about the mentality and plus the skills and the tips that you have, that was perfect, because TPST, we were talking about it yesterday.
That's right.
If I didn't have a stop loss, I wouldn't be here now, because I would have blown up my account. I would even, and you know what? That happened in October. I wouldn't be in Portugal right now. I would like probably start finding a new job, because back that day, I was short in an oversized, because sometimes it happens. Sometimes you make this mistake. And that stock went up 4,000%. And now, I stopped it. I was short at 0.7 with bigger size than I usually do. And I stopped it at 1 with my max loss, which is 10K max loss. So I was really oversized. So I took my max loss is 10K. I would have blown up my account, because I stopped it at 1 and the stock went to 11. I don't have enough money in my account to hold the stock until 11. I would have my career would be over. So that tip, like that information that you provide me, like that back then, you probably took some loss that you decided to do the same. So that's why when you did that, I decided to do the same, and that saved my career, man.
When I did during that conference, I was like, I went over some of the recent losses, and I came up with that number that I me and Ellis spoke about it like in depth, and he was questioning me, okay, so what's that number for you? We were digging into the problems I was having at the time, and we came up with that number for the stop loss. And I think that's the next level with trading. We all got to evolve, you know, so the squeezes are getting exponential more than ever. I mean, when we were first starting, there was less short selling brokers out there, for example. Now, there's a lot of them. And the squeezes, like TPST, 4,000%. I think it even went more. I because yesterday it came back up and I was looking at it. Wait a second. TPST, isn't this the one that went from 11 cents or something to like $11 or something? So I went back and I drew the line, and I don't know, maybe my line was wrong, but it said I think it said almost 6,000%.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, I remember
I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Either one is crazy. So yeah. Either one is it's crazy.
So basically, man, what all of this just to say that now, even though I can have huge setbacks if I have another or even two max losses, I'm going to be still in the game, because I know that doesn't happen very often if I keep my size. That would happen probably one or two, or even the worst case scenario, 4 times a year. But I can make it back in a month, once max loss. So that kind of created a feeling that I'm okay, you know, because every time that I was trading, I was feeling today might be the end. Today might be the end. And that, like, also that usually that helped a lot in the conference. What was Stan was talking about, like the things that you have in mind that basically go against you. Like if you don't have the right mindset. And basically, man, after that, it was really, really interesting how my evolution was in terms of profits. And I mean, the main idea is keep doing what I'm not pushing size because I don't need to. That's the point. Like I'm in the game for long term. I want to do this for a living. I don't need to get to $1 million next month, not even less next year. I can do this in 10 years. Like if I can pay my bills, if I can keep growing my account while trading and while traveling, it's fine. Probably next year, I'm going to be tired of traveling. So I'm going to be like more relaxed and probably focus on even other projects as we were talking before the podcast. So yeah, that's the main way that I'm building my account now.
Yeah. You know, traveling takes a, like you don't like how many countries have you been to? Since trading, since this whole thing.
Since trading, 22.
That's a lot of countries. Yeah, so I did something like that, and I got tired of traveling, man. Now I'm doing like a country, like a couple countries. Since last year, I did like 3 countries. This year, 1. But I want to, bro. Like traveling is so awesome, man. As something as traders is like you gotta you know, when you get profitable, it's like you gotta do it. I know, like before, I got profitable. I used to think, man, one day I'm going to travel and do this. Were you, was it the same for you? It's like, man, what, yeah, I'm going to, exactly. And then you're able to do it. So before trading, yeah, like how was, you got profitable trading, was traveling like something crazy? Like, man, I'm going to travel the world. It's going to be, that's too much. It's how, like, it's, if you weren't a trader, like how hard of that would have been to do?
It would be really hard because I couldn't make money while traveling. It would be like saving money from work and then taking a sabbatical year for 1 year and like spend all the money. And like especially during my backpacking for 6 months, I was training almost every day. And then like in the end, I spent 6 months traveling around Europe and Asia, around Asia and Oceania. And then I paid all the bills while traveling. So it was amazing. And then that's the.
What's your setup like when you travel? You have like a one laptop or a couple screens?
I have the same here, so it's like a laptop and a second screen, basically.
So it's just like getting comfortable. See, I never got comfortable. Well, up until recently, like because I'm going from this giant computer to just a small laptop. So I guess it's about like getting used to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, of course, when I have a third monitor, it's even better. But when you get used to it, you just gotta do the same steps every day, which you can do. Like one, it's not that good because you gotta all tab. But if you have two, it's fine. I have one for like the shed, one like the same as the shed for dilution tracker, and one for the platform. So it's good enough.
All right, Lucas. So let's talk about some trading now. So what are your favorite things to trade recently? The past so pre market and all that, but like recently, the past couple of years, like you know, I know you're a heavy fundamentals guy. So what's your stuff?
Right. So I would say, man, that my A plus setup, it's a pre market. And I would say pre-market, not regular hours, pre-market gapper. That's my A-plus setup, which is like a stock that it's opening the pre-market at 4 a.m. with a beat at least 20, 30% up. And that happens. Sometimes it's not that often, probably once a month. But that's the one that that's the only setup that I go full size right in the first. That's not how I started. It's full size. Because it usually just creeps and closes the gap. Okay, so that's my first A setup. But I would say, like, nowadays, my main setup, it's after hours. So I got to understand the news. If there's no news, even better. That one. And also, like, midday runners and shorting the stock that it's already extended from view up. Probably that strategy, it's we do the same. But I would say that's my main setups. In terms of stock selection, I'm going to be a little bit polemic. I don't have that many filters in terms of, like, I trade Chinese stocks. Actually, February was a really good month in terms of profit because Chinese stocks just went nuts. And for me, like, the point is, I use the knowledge that you gave me in terms of not trading Chinese, but when I know it's China, I just go even smaller and even more careful. So I just go even more, like, the ads, they are bigger in terms of numbers, you know, like, so if I short at 2, I would only add at 4 or 6. So I just play carefully, and that's what I do. But one thing that it became really important to me, it's trying the best that I can to avoid IO. IO, it's proven me be really, really sketchy, and it's hard to compete with institutionals, especially in months like the end of the quarter. Like last month was really hard for me. If I close all my squeezes, I would be red at the month. But yeah, I mean, the main things that I've been seeing right now, it's I'm still really good in sub pennies. So I'm really good at trading, like, especially 50 cents, between 50 cents and $1. I love the $1 move that I short at 1 and usually comes back to like 70, 80 or even dies. That's one trade that I love.
Yeah, the $1 resistance area that you're saying, like, yeah, they hit a dollar and die.
If
yeah.
there's any resistance, but I would say like the $1 setup, it's really good. What else?
Yeah, I usually put my scanners for dollar minimum, and they hit. But you trade, you like to trade the ones like 50 cents to a dollar. You're saying
I do. I usually look for resistances. So if they have like huge resistance, I will short. And
so fundamental. So what drove you to? Because before the podcast started, we were looking at an overextended stock, but it was driven by good fundamentals. You would say like, you don't like to short a stock, but even if it's extended, like if it has good fundamentals. So like, when did you find out that you're like a fundamentals? You like to have the thesis with fundamentals included in the thesis, not just, but you do technicals too. So
I do.
So when did you decide, you know, like I like to read news and try to decipher it, and fundamentals, it makes me more comfortable to get in the trade and to have more conviction, you know, because I'm the same way. I like to put it all together.
To be honest, when I met you, because before that I was blindly using charts to short. I didn't know about flow. I didn't use flow. And then like after all the knowledge that we shared together, because I knew about fundamentals, but I didn't know about anything about that. When I met Dilution Tracker and I learned everything that it's inside of it, even like when I did the it was really good in terms of knowledge and how to know how a long think to long one stock in terms of fundamentals. And that, now I know what not to short. And I've been doing that pretty well. Like, to be honest, like using fundamentals, it's the only way for me, at least, that I can say that I'm on the right side of the trade. Otherwise, I'm just blindly shorting charts with technical analysis. And if there's really huge news, like today, the stock that we were trading, even though I still think like the news doesn't make any sense, the headlines were, it was really, really pumpable. So that's why it was going up a lot. And that, and the, this type of understanding, it's really important. Like what to see in the headline, what you see in the news, and kind of put yourself in the position that if I would trade, if I would, if I was a long trader, would I buy it because of the news? And that's how I've been doing this now. One thing that I want to get deep into it, it's about biotechs between phase two to phase three. It's still blurred to me if it's a good short or not. Usually my main squeezes are the mid-size biotechs. They are my main squeezes, like biotechs above 200 million. They are usually the ones that I get stuck.
Yeah, same here. Especially if they have a pipe deal. I've gotten squeezed in a couple. That's why I made the rule. I just like, no, I'm very red flag when I see a pipe. But like, if it's like 200 million or over 250 million float or market cap, and it has, they do a pipe, it's like really a lot of times it's like really good institutional investors are, they, it's a good deal for the company. So it's like, it's yeah, I had the same thing. Also, I wanted to get your thoughts on phase two and phase three. So phase three, it can be seen like in certain times, like a sell the news event. But at the same time, it's like if it has institutional presence, it could have like some crazy move. Like VTGN, I think was, remember that one? VTGN? Like 3,500% in the pre-market.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think that one had phase three news. Yeah, any thoughts on those? Like what are your thoughts with the phase
usually
two and phase three?
Phase three nowadays, I avoid. Even phase two, depending, because it's kind of blurred for me, because sometimes, like usually for me, if I stock is it's putting up a phase three news, it's supposed to already be in phase two, which means like if it's in phase two, it should have a really good market cap already. Yeah. And sometimes there's a phase three news coming up from a 20 million stock. And that's kind of gets me like in a position that I don't know what to do. Like, so usually I avoid. Usually when I see phase three news, I usually avoid, because if it's not a 20 million, it's already a 200 million, which probably there's a lot of institutionals over there. If it's a 20 million, it could be easily a 100 million market cap. So that's one type of trade that I, of course, like I go deep into it, like see if there's any, I don't know, like warrants and or like that. But usually when it's like all the red flags in terms of cash, in terms of dilution and IO and whatever, I just avoid.
Yeah, nice. What are your thoughts on like everybody looking now at dilution tracker? Do you think you gotta put, do you consider that like everybody is looking at dilution tracker? All the short sellers are looking at the like, and they're all shorting at the same time at the same prices. So it's like, do you ever consider that?
I would say that's an issue. And also I would say that I know that a lot of pumpers, like I know
Moomoo, for example. They've evolved. So check this out. The pumpers have evolved. They went from Diamond Hands and Apes and you know, to now they look at dilution tracker and like they're looking at lockup expiration and exercise prices. Exactly. They've evolved like a monkey to like a human, you know, like the animation.
Exactly. And it's about that, you know, like you gotta put yourself in the perspective of a long, and like if you see that everything it's low cash need, like all the variables that we actually look and say like, no, I don't want to short this, you know? And sometimes I break the rules, but I'm usually when I break the rules in terms of like fundamentals, I usually go small size. And it's sometimes it's hard. Like I'm still dealing with FOMO, especially when I'm traveling. Like while I'm traveling, I'm okay to trade whatever happens. But when I'm here full size, full time, sometimes I feel FOMO because, for example, tomorrow I'm gonna only trade like for 3 or 4 hours because I'm gonna have like something to do in another city. I'm going to Porto tomorrow. And since today was my last full day of the week, I was like pressuring myself to make good amount of money. And that's not good, you know, like if you have the mentality that you gotta make money, you push yourself more than you should. And then sometimes you take trades that you're not supposed to do. Like, for example, the one that I took today, I was even not even looking if there was news. It was a completely wrong move, but that it happens.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes in the comments a while ago, there was one guy that commented. He's like, I was doing the trade review, and he said, "Oh, David, you know, you have the luxury of trading all day. I have to go to work, so I have to put in the trade." I was like, you know, because I was saying, I'm going to wait for everyone to get squeezed, and I'm going to go in. I'm just reviewing my trade, and I'm like that. And then like he commented a long comment, and but like that's not correct. You know, that's you don't got to trade. So like, how do you see it? Because I remember like when we were first learning with Tim Sykes, he would say, "Oh, I like traveling and trading because I'm forced not to trade. You know, I trade better when I travel." But like, you know, so how do you combat that? You know what I mean? It's like, because I mean, like
while traveling, it's okay, because since you're enjoying your free time, you're doing other stuff, you don't feel FOMO. And like while I'm trading at night, usually when I'm traveling, I trade at night. It's fine because I know I had a really good day in terms of enjoying life. But the point is, when I'm full time trading, like back home, I gotta feel the need to push it a little bit harder, because I'm probably gonna travel again and I'm gonna make less money, you know, while I travel. Because I do like make less money while traveling, because I don't have a lot of hours to trade. And basically that's what happens like today. Like I was like pushing myself because it would be the biggest, like the last day of the week that I would have like full time. And I got into a bad move, and that happens, you know. I gotta control myself, and that's it. But I want to mention something about, like, for example, today I was trading this stock that I'm squeezed. It's VVPR. And I decided to make like a different move. I don't do this very often, but like I got comfortable. I'm trying to get comfortable of stopping the trade if I really think the stock's going up even more, it's going to push up. Especially when I understand the news and the news are good. It happens like this last month, it happens 3 times already. But like today, I did the same. So I was short in one broker, I'm still short. And the other one, I was short, but I managed to cut the trade, go long, and then reshort, and then cover and rebuy, and then sell. So basically, I did like 4 trades, and I just basically end up with 0 loss. Like I end up with like no profits. But anyway, like I'm not short, I'm not positioned anymore. And I'm like, I didn't have any loss in the day in that account. And it was really good for me. It doesn't happen very often. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes like it collapses. But anyway, I'm kind of hedging the position because I'm still short in the other account. But now like I'm still short and I'm net flat on the other broker, which is really good. And sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard to like accept that you did the wrong move, but sometimes you gotta stop. You gotta close the position. And that's what I did, basically.
Yeah. Awesome. So, all right, Lucas, to start to wrap it up. Any thoughts going forward? What countries you plan going to next? You mentioned Portugal, right? That's
Portugal. Yeah. I'm just going to visit my friend. And I'm going next month. This month, actually, I'm going to Vienna. And
Vienna, nice.
And Budapest, Hungary.
Hungary. And wait, that's not where the Andrew Tate guy is, right? No, that's all Romania.
Yeah. And in the end of the month, on the 29th, I'm going to Spain for Eduardo's conference, as I told you. So I'm going to Spain, and then that's what I have for now. Like,
you know, in Spain, in Madrid, they just, Barcelona, They just finished they're about to finish the Gaudi's cathedral. You know this one?
Really?
You know that crazy one?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about to be finished. You were in Italy though. So what's been your favorite country so far in Europe and let's say all together?
In all together, I would say Thailand, man. Thailand.
What do you like about Thailand?
It's a really good mix of culture, of beaches and party and really good weather. I did my diving course over there, which was amazing. It's a lot of spots to dive. And I would say that it's a really complete country in terms of traveling. If you want to go to a place, one country, and you're going to explore different types of traveling, it's amazing.
I've been to Thailand twice. So like, okay, so where did you go in Thailand? You went to like the islands and stuff and like North Thailand?
Yeah, I went to Bangkok, Chiang Mai in the north.
Yeah.
And Koh Phangan, Koh Tao. Koh Tao is where I did the diving course. Krabi, Koh Phi Phi, Phi Phi Islands. And that was pretty much it. Like, there was another one, I forgot the name. It was really down south. But yeah, it was really good. It was really nice.
Nice. So yeah, extensive.
And I would say New Zealand, it's in terms of beauty, New Zealand was the best country I've been in terms of. It's amazing. It's amazing. And in Europe, I'm still in the beginning. I went to Malta. I met Laza there.
So how is Malta? I never, because, you know, it's Laza, we spoke about it a little bit, but like, you, when I saw your videos and photos, it's like crazy. It's like castles, but it's a small island.
Bro, it's incredible how many history there's there in just a small island. Like, it's crazy. They were conquered by a lot of people. Even Napoleon Bonaparte, he conquered Malta. And they have a huge story about the Order of St. John's, which is, it's basically like, I didn't know that, but they have their own passport. They are the only civilization, the only country without a land. So they have their own passport. It's crazy. Like, they have like 500 passports, 500 people still in this order. It's a religious order, but it's like the mainland of their, of the St. John's order is still there. It's crazy. Okay. It's a lot of history. It's a lot of history. It's really nice. And there's a lot of beaches over there. So it's really cool as well.
So you, I saw your videos and stuff like, wait, so you ran the whole island?
I did this a lot in Thailand. I love to ride bikes. So I rented a motorbike and just drove around the island. It's really nice.
Awesome, man. Well, Lucas, yeah. So how can people find you? Let's want to mention to anyone.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm going to finish with that. So now, guys, I have my own community. Back then, the last time that we spoke, I was by myself in this community. Now I have like two partners. It's like two other Brazilians that they do trade. They short sell stocks in a different type of setups that I do. But it's complementary because they usually do swing trades. And I'm more like I'm day trader. Like I trade everything that is up. And basically we got together and we created a community. It's called Born to Trade. It's all in Portuguese. So everybody, if anybody listening to this that speaks Portuguese want to be there, just let me know. You can find me on Instagram. It's Lucas Marin, as it's written over there, underscore. My YouTube channel, it's Marin Trader. And you can find Born to Trade Academy at Born to Trade Academy in Instagram. That's pretty much it.
Nice. How do you say Born to Trade in Portuguese?
Nascido para.
Is that how? Is that what everybody says in there? That's how they know it.
It's called Born to Trade in English.
Born to Trade. Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, Friendly Bear Podcast, since day one, or no, since like the year and a half, has been all the captions. It has all Portuguese captions. I don't know. Do any of your people watch it?
I love. I always send your videos for them.
It's all Portuguese. All for I have a, I always go out of my way. I add that extra thing to every video.
Yeah, it's really good, man. It's cool. A lot of good content.
Yeah, nice. Nice. All right, Lucas. Well, it's been great connecting again, man. And I'll see you in the morning in the Discord. So
see you tomorrow, man.
I'll see you, man. Bye.
That concludes today's episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the channel on the platform you use. The Friendly Bear Podcast is hosted by me, David, where you can find me on Twitter at @reverse_long. You can find the Friendly Bear Podcast at www.thefriendlybearpodcast.com, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, and now on YouTube at Friendly Bear Research. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Friendly Bear Podcast.